السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ورب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 152 to 156 of Surah Ali Imran today. We'll start with the word meanings first. Inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Ayah 152. ولقد و and لقد ل means surely and قد means in fact. So there is double emphasis in whatever is coming up next. Okay, so وَلَقَدْ and certainly or surely, in fact, صَدَقَكُمْ اللَّهُ صَدَقَ comes from صِدْق صَدَ الْقَافْ which means the truth. So صَدَقَ is singular and it's third person and it's speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So صَدَقَ, he spoke the truth or he made true. قُمْ, all of you. اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Vada. Vada means promise. Who? His. Is when the husudahum. His is the root word here, and that means to sense. But here, it means to wipe out, to kill, okay, to destroy the senses. So, which is to kill. So, ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So tahusuna, you were killing or you were destroying, wiping out whom, them, be with idni, permission, he, his. Hatta, until, iza, when, fashiltum. Fashil means showed weakness or lost courage. Tum, all of you, wa, and tanaza'tum. Disputed among yourselves, tum, all of you, fi, concerning, or in, al-amri, al means the, and amr means matter, or affair. Wa, and, aswaytum, aswa, means to disobey. So, aswai, disobeyed, tum, all of you, min ba'di, after. Ma, what, araakum, ara, he showed, kum, all of you, ma, what, tuhibbuna, you all love. Hubban means love, that's the root word. Tu in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So tuhibbuna, you all love. Min kum, min, from kum, all of you. Man, who, yuridu. You in the word, the beginning of the word tells us this word is third person. So yuridu, he wishes or he wants. Ad-dunya, the world or the near. Wa and min kum, min, from kum, all of you. Man hu yuridu, he wants or he wishes. Al-akhirah, al means the and akhirah means hereafter. Summa, then, sorofa, turned away. Okay, and this is also singular, third person. And we know because there's three fathas in a row on all three letters. So, sorofa, he turned away. Kum, all of you. An, from, hum, them. Li, so that, or for. Yabtaliya. This comes from the word ibtala, which means to test or try. Ya in the beginning means he. So yabtaliya, he tests ortraeskum, all of you. So liyebet aliyakum, so that he tests or he tries all of you. Wa and laqad, surely or in fact. Asa, pardoned, he pardoned. An, from, kum, all of you. Wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, zu, possessor of, or the one with, one with, fadlin, there's no al. So fadl means bounty or grace. Wala, upon, al-mu'mineen, the believers. This comes from the word iman, which means to believe. Al in the beginning means the, and ina ending makes this word plural. So al-mu'mineen, the believers. If, when, tus'iduna, you all were climbing up. Sad ayn dal is the root word here, and that means to climb up, okay, or to run away from. So ta in the beginning means you, una ending makes this word plural. So tus'iduna, you all were climbing up or fleeing. Wa and la, na, talwuna, you were looking back. Okay, and we learned this word already before when it came to twisting the tongues. Remember we learned about the Jews, how their scholars, how they used to distort the words, right? So they used to twist the words. So that's where we learned the word talwuna before. So it was yalwuna, I believe. Back then, but here it's talwuna. Ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. Again, so talwuna, you all glance or you all look back. Ala, upon or at, ahadin, anyone. Wa, while. Al rasula, al means the, and rasul means messenger. Yad'ukum, du'a is the root word, and that means to call out. So ya in the beginning means he. So yad'u, he was calling, kum, all of you. Fi in ukhrakum. Ukhra means behind or rear, kum, yours. Fa, so, asaba, he rewarded, kum, all of you. Meaning Allah rewarded all of you. A woman, a sorrow or distress. Bi ghammin, with distress or sorrow. Li kayla, li, so that, kayla, not. Tahzanu, you all grieve. Huzan is the root word and that means grief. Ta in the beginning means you, and the waw sukun in the end followed by the alif tells us this verb is plural. So tahzanu, you all grieve. Ala, upon, ma, that which. Fatakum. Fata comes from faut, which means to pass away, right? So fata, passed away. Kum, from all of you. Wa and la, nor, ma, that which. Asaba. Asaba means to reach or afflict. Okay, so asabakum, reached all of you. Wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is khabirun, is always all aware. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. Khabir, always all aware, bima, be, with, ma, whatever. Ta'malun, you all do. Ayn mim lam is the root word and that means to do something. Ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes the word plural. So ta'malun, you all do. Summa, then, anzala, he sent down, alay, upon, kum, all of you, min, from, ba'di, after, al-ghammi, the distress or the sorrow, amanatan, a peace or security, nu'asan, slumber, yakhsha, it covers or overcomes, ta'ifatan, a group, min kum, min, from, kum, all of you. Wa and ta'ifatun, a group, qad, in fact, ahammat, made anxious, hum, them, anfusuhum, anfus means souls, hum, theirs. So anfusuhum, their selves. Yadhunnuna, they think. Dhun is the root word here, and that means to assume. So yeah, in the beginning, makes this word third person and una ending makes it plural. So yazunnuna, they think or they assume, billahi, be about, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghayra, other than, al-haqq, the truth. Dhanna, assumption, or thought, al-jahiliya, the ignorance. Yaquluna, they say, this comes from qul, ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person and una ending makes it plural. So yaquluna, they say, hal is, lana, la, for, na, us, min from, al, the, amri, matter, min from, shay'in, anything, qul, say. This is a command and it's singular. It's addressing one person. So qul, say, inna, indeed, al-amra, the matter, kullahu, kulla, all, who is, lillahi, is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Li means for, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yukhfuna, they conceal, or they hide, fi, in, anfusihim, themselves, ma, what, la, not, yubiduna, they disclose, or they reveal, laka, to you, yakuluna, they say, lau iskana, it was, lana, la, for, na, us, min, from, al-amri, the matter, shay'un, anything, ma, not, kutilna, kutil, would be killed, na, we, hahuna, here. So kutilna, we were killed, or we would be killed. Hahuna, here. Qul, say, lau, if, kun, were, tum, all of you. Fi, in, buyuti. This is plural for the word bait, which means a home. Buyut means homes. Kum, yours, labaraza. Now, please note this la in the beginning, the prefix, lam fatha, means surely. Okay, please do not stretch this, otherwise the meaning becomes completely the opposite of what it's meant to. So, la, surely, baraza, went forth, or appeared. Alladhina, those who, kutiba, was written, or decreed, alayhim, upon them. Al-qatlu, the killing or death, ila, towards, madaji'ihim. Madaji'i means the places of death. Okay, the places where somebody is meant to die. Madaji'i, places of death, him, theirs. Wa and li, so that, yabitaliya, again, ibtala, root word, and that means to test. So, liyabitaliya, so that he tests. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma, whatever, fi, in, sudur, chests. This is plural for sadr, which means chest. So, sudur, chests, kum, yours, wa, and li, so that, yumahisa, he purges, or he purifies, ma, whatever, fi, in, kulubikum, kulub, hearts, plural for qalb, which means heart, and qulub means hearts, qum, yours. Wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alimun, is always all-knowing. Bizati, with possessor of, or with the secrets of, al-sudur, the chest. Inna, indeed, allazina, those who, tawallaw, they turned away. Remember, we learned this word already. Walla means to turn away. So tawallo, they turned away. Minkum, min from, kum, all of you. Yoma, day. Altaqa, met. Aljama'ani, the two groups. Okay, ani ending tells us this word is in the dual. Okay, so it is speaking about two parties. Okay, so jam, ani, two parties or two groups, innama, only, or indeed not but. You can say indeed, you can say only, or not but, as the translation for innama. Istazallahum, he caused to slip. Istazalla, he caused to slip or mess up. Hum, them. Ash-shaytanu, the shaytan. Bi, because of. Baladi, some, ma, wa, kasabu, they had earned. The waw sukun in the end, followed by the alif, tells us this word is plural. Wa en, laqad, surely, or in fact, asa, he pardoned. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anhum, an from, hum, them. Inna, indeed, Allaha, Allah, ghafurun, is always all forgiving. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. He is always all forgiving and Halim, always all forbearing or all tolerant. This is also another attribute of Allah. Ya ayyuha, oh, allazina, those who, amanu, they believed, la, do not, takunu, you all be. Kun is the root word, da in the beginning means you, waw in the end, followed by the alif, means this word is plural. So takuna, you all be, or become, ka, like, allazina, those who, kafaru, they disbelieved, vaqalu, wa and qalu, they said, li, to, ikhwani, brothers, him, theirs, iza, when, dorabu, they struck, or they traveled. Because when we travel or when we're walking, we strike the earth with our feet, right? We strike the ground. That's why the word daraba is used for traveling. So iza, when, darabu, they traveled, fi, in, al-ardi, the earth, aw, or, kanu, they were, ghuzan, fighters, lo, if, kanu, they were, inda, with, na, as, ma, not, matu, they would die, meaning they would have died, wa, and, ma, not, kutilu, they would have been killed. This comes from qatil, and this is passive. So, kutilu, they would have been killed. Li, so that, yaj'ala, ya tells us this word is in the third person, and ja'ala means to make. The yaj'ala, so that he makes Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ that hasratan, a regret, fi in kulubi, hearts, him, theirs, wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhyi, he gives life. This comes from hay, which means living, right? So yuhyi, he gives life. The ya in the beginning means that it's third person and Allah is the doer. Wa an yumeet, he causes death. Okay, so it comes from mot, which means death, and ya in the beginning means he. So yumeet, he gives death. Wa an Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bima, be with, ma, whatever, ta'maluna, you all do, basir, is always all seeing. This is another attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start with the tafsir of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So we have been learning about what happened after the Muslims were defeated at the Battle of Uhud. The Jews of Medina and the hypocrites from among the Muslims started talking about how Allah did not help the Muslims when he had promised to help them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies in this ayah, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعَدَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did indeed fulfill his promise to you. He did not leave the Muslims helpless. They had actually won the battle. And we learned already that the disbelievers were all running off. So Allah did fulfill his promise. If the husunahum bi idnihi, when you were destroying them by his permission, you were killing them. Hatta idha fashiltum, until you showed weakness and lost courage after disobeying Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The archers who had moved from their positions came up with the excuse that the Muslims had won the battle already, so there's no harm in leaving their positions anymore. Even though Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told them not to move. وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and you disputed among yourselves about the order. Abdullah bin Jubayr radiallahu anhu was telling all the archers positioned on Jabal Ramad not to leave. But some of them did not listen. Most of them didn't listen. So whenever people disobey Allah, they try to present excuses. They don't say straight out that they want to disobey Allah. They don't admit that. And that's what those archers did as well. They argued with each other about the order. وَأَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ, and you disobeyed after Allah had brought within your sight that which you loved. So what was it that Allah showed them that they loved? It was either victory or spoils of war. When the archers saw the spoils of war that the Muslims could collect, they disobeyed and they left the mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did fulfill his promise to them, and they were defeating the polytheists. But then they were the ones who argued with each other. They were the ones who lost courage. And later on, they're the ones who started running off. Right? It wasn't Allah who told them to run off. This teaches us that falling into dispute about the orders of Allah is harmful for people. It's very bad. Even if the archers had disputed over the orders, they should not have disobeyed Allah and their leader. They should have obeyed their leader, which was Abdullah bin Jubair, radiallahu anhu. Because we learned already that Abdullah bin Jubair, radiallahu anhu, was the one Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, chose to be the leader of those positioned there. So they should have listened to him, and they should not have left their post. However, they didn't listen to him, and they left. That is why the Muslims suffered a great loss. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them victory already, they lost at the end because of their own weakness and for disobeying the Messenger of Allah and because they were arguing with each other. These were the reasons they suffered there. We learn a great lesson from all this. The Sahaba, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, disobeyed that one time and they were punished for it, right? So think about all the orders of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we disobey. If others try to tell us not to do something, we say it's okay if we don't follow the sunnah or listen to hadith. We don't take an order seriously unless we see it in the Quran. And we argue about so many things. We should remember that it's perfectly normal for people to have a difference of opinion about things at times. But we should not start opposing each other due to those differences and be divided into groups. And we can't start saying bad things about the other person just because they feel differently about something. And we should not hold a grudge against them and stop doing work, whatever work we were doing as a result. Disputes cause things to fall apart. And once people fall into dispute, it's impossible to carry out their mission properly. So the Muslims should avoid it. There was another war that took place during which the Muslims were fighting for days, but they were not able to defeat the enemy. So they started thinking of what they were doing wrong or what they were leaving out from the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they realized that they had not been using miswak to clean their mouth. So they all sat by the water and started to use miswak on their teeth. when the enemy's spies saw what they were doing, they went back to tell the enemy that the Muslims were cannibals, that they were sharpening their teeth in preparation of eating them. The enemy got so scared that they ran off, and the Muslims won the battle. And that was just because they followed the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just because they started to clean their teeth with miswak. So we should follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it does benefit us, and avoid whatever he advised us to stay away from. Because Allah tells us in the Quran to take what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us and stop doing whatever he told us not to do. We disobey Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in so many ways. And then we complain that Allah is not helping the Muslims. We want his help and we want to be victorious, but that doesn't happen if we keep disobeying Allah. Remember that this ayah was revealed about the Battle of Uhud. And it speaks about the Sahaba who were chosen by Allah because they were great people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even seized them for their disobedience to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we cannot expect to get away with disobeying him. There's a hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that tells us, whoever obeys me has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever disobeys me has disobeyed Allah. So whoever obeys me has obeyed Allah, and whoever disobeys me has disobeyed Allah. And whoever follows the leader I appoint has obeyed me, and whoever disobeys the leader I appoint has disobeyed me. So the archers should have obeyed their leader, Abdullah bin Jubair, radiallahu anhu, because he was appointed by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they didn't. That was one of the reasons why the Muslims lost the battle. And we covered the other points already about what they did wrong, that they should not have done. And when people act that way, they lose even after having won. And they disobeyed when Allah showed them what they loved, or the spoils of war. Because the next section talks about the wealth of this world. They saw the wealth of this world and they went after it, without thinking about what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered them to do. As a result, they suffered a great loss. And people do this today too. Many times, people who take Quran classes and spend time learning the word of Allah in detail suddenly stop just because they get a nice job. They have a job offer. They think it's a valid excuse to stop learning the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes what is within us and what we prioritize when that happens. مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Among you, there are some who desire the gain of this world and some who desire the gain of the hereafter. At the end of the battle of Uhud, the archers who left their posts were those who wanted the goods of this world. And those who stayed on the mountain with Abdullah bin Jubair, radiallahu anhu, were not like that. They focused on the hereafter, and they listened to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the first to be martyred. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes evident whatever is in our hearts. We can't just talk and say that we just want the best in the hereafter. We have to prove what we claim through our actions. ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ. Then he turned you away from them so that he may test you. The enemy was running off before, and the Muslims were chasing them. Suddenly the situation changed when the enemy came from behind and the Muslims were ahead of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this happen لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ, in order to test you, So he could see who would run off and who would remain steadfast. Because all the Muslims had said that they wanted to become martyrs. They wanted to die while fighting for Allah. And then they suddenly saw death in front of them because Allah was testing to see what they would actually do. But even after all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ عَفَا عَنْكُمْ. But now He has forgiven you all. Even though they were running away, a lot of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He has forgiven them. This means that Allah forgave all the Sahaba, including those who made a mistake and left their positions. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that clear, nobody could judge the Sahaba for running off or for leaving the mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them, so we can't say anything against them or point out their faults. We learn another important point from this. The Sahaba were sincere. Those who disobeyed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not plan on doing it. They just made a spur of the moment decision. They made a mistake. So Allah forgave them even though they made an impulsive decision, which caused a great loss. We should learn from this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even forgives people for such big things. It was a great mistake, a big mistake they made, but He forgave them. But we don't forgive people even when they make the smallest of mistakes, or if we have to face any kind of loss because of them. Wallahu dhul fadlin 'ala al-mu'mineen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gracious to the believers. If someone is a true believer, Allah forgives them for the mistakes they make. Even the noble Sahaba of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a mistake, although they were the best of people after the prophets. They made a mistake because they were human. As humans, we all make mistakes. Even very pious people do. But Allah forgives people if they are true believers. So we shouldn't highlight the mistakes of the very religious people just because we can't accept that they're capable of making mistakes too. Just let it go and don't judge them for it. Remember that they're not angels. They are people just like us. Allah forgives people if they are really believers. He is gracious. Remember when you fled in panic and did not even look back at one another? The Sahaba were caught in the middle when they were suddenly attacked by Khalid bin Walid from behind and the polytheists who were running off. They came back as well. So there was so much chaos that the Muslims didn't even hear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling them from behind. وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ فِي أُخْرَاكُمْ. And the messenger of Allah at your rear was calling out to you, إِلَيَّ عِبَادُ اللَّهِ. To me, servants of Allah. But they did not even hear him, and they didn't turn around to even look. فَأَثَابَكُمْ غَمًّا بِغَمٍّ. Consequently, Allah inflicted upon you one sorrow after another. The Muslims were shocked that they were attacked suddenly after having won the battle. And there were so many Muslims being martyred. The Muslims were caught off guard while they were collecting the spoils of war. They never thought all this would happen suddenly. And so many of their companions would be killed that way. On top of it all, they heard the rumor about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's death, that he had been killed. And they were so traumatized by all this and for having disobeyed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them why all this happened. It was not to cause doubts about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the true messenger. Instead, it was لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُوا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا مَا أَصَابَكُمْ, so that you don't grieve for what you lose, nor at any misfortune you may encounter. This was to teach them a lesson, so they would become tougher and be able to bear patiently when they went through a loss. People become tougher, they become stronger, and they're more resilient after having gone through stressful situations or problems or pain in life. So Allah says that whatever happened was so that they would become tougher through that difficulty, and so that they would get the strength to bear whatever problems they would face in the future. They wouldn't be overly sensitive after overcoming this trial, because people who are too sensitive can't do much in the way of Allah. Think about all the messengers of Allah, subhanAllah, everything they went through. They went through really tough situations to be able to handle things and work patiently in the way of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trained them. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through difficulties since he was very young. He had never met his father, and he was just 6 years old when his mother passed away. That's such a tender age. And to most children that age, their mother is the center of their lives. He lost her, and he didn't have any siblings. Then his loving grandfather passed away. And later, his paternal uncle, who loved and cared for him so much. And we know that when he moved in with his uncle after his grandpa's death, it wasn't easy because his uncle was able to provide just the basics for the family. He was not that well off. And we all know that we had to go, what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to go through when he was older, right? So Allah had made him tough through those situations, through those hardships he went through when he was younger. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of training people. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trained Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be patient, and he made him capable of fulfilling his mission. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trains people to endure with patience when they face difficulties, because he wants them to be resilient. If we become overly sensitive, are we going to be able to leave everything to go live in the caves when Dajjal appears? That is what we would have to do to protect our iman. But it seems like most of us would not be able to do that because we're so sensitive. So when we face difficulties in life, it makes us stronger as people. And once we are tough, we are able to get through trials without being overwhelmed. However, people who are too sensitive give up when they go through even the smallest of tests. So whenever you go through problems in life, just think that Allah may be training you for something greater, to make you more resilient, to polish you, to be able to do something for Islam, something important. That will help you trust Allah even more and strengthen your connection with Him. Remember that He's doing it for your own benefit. Wallahu khabirum bima ta'malun, and Allah is always all aware of all that you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً نُّعَاسًا يَغْشَىٰ طَائِفَةً مِّنكُمْ. Then after this grief, he bestowed peace on some of you, a slumber which overcame them. There on the battlefield, a group of Muslims were bestowed with slumber or peace. Remember, we learned that the Muslims had divided up into three groups. Remember, we went over this last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe. There was the group who went back with Abdullah bin Ubay even before fighting in the battle, right? They headed back. And then there were 700 left. Out of the 700 who were left, there were some who were true believers, meaning those who were steadfast. And then there were others with a weak iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the true believers sleep so they would feel at peace. And we know that psychiatrists prescribe medicine to make people fall asleep when they're overly stressed, so they would feel better after they wake up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala naturally made the believers sleep peacefully after the Battle of Uhud on the battlefield. And this happened because they proved that they deserved the help of Allah. So he helped them. A Sahabi said, I saw people fall asleep there. I was so sleepy that the sword kept falling out of my hand. It was out of mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the believers sleep at that time, when they were so overcome with grief. They felt at peace after that. And as for the other group of Muslims who were there, وَطَائِفَةٌ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. And the other group who were stirred to anxiety by their own souls, holding unjust and wrong suspicions about Allah, the suspicions of ignorance. They were suddenly so worried about what would happen and if they would even survive after that. They started to assume unjust things about Allah, the assumptions of ignorance, that Allah had left them helpless and he wouldn't help them anymore. That's what they were thinking. Thinking that way about Allah is something the hypocrites do when they go through misfortunes, not the Muslims. So the sincere ones were steadfast, but the others started talking like the hypocrites, being ignorant. We should keep in mind that Allah is testing us to see how we react whenever we are afflicted with trials. He wants to test and see if we would start assuming unjust things about Allah or if we would remain steadfast. So we should never give up hope, no matter how bad things get for the Muslims. Because if we do, we would become like the hypocrites. Be certain that Allah is listening and he will grant you what you ask for. Thinking badly of Allah at difficult times is what the hypocrites did. يَقُولُونَ, they say, هَلْ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, have we any say in the matter? They meant that they had advised Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stay within Medina and fight instead of coming out to fight. And they complained that they were brought here out of the city to be killed. Astaghfirullah. Allah checks to see what our reactions are to difficulties, what we say in tough situations. And they were saying very negative things. قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. Say to them, all matters are in the hands of Allah. Everything is up to him. It's all up to him. So when the hypocrites were complaining that nobody took their advice, and that's why they were suffering now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the believers to tell them that Allah is the one who makes all the decisions. This is what we should remember too, when we start blaming others for anything that goes wrong. We shouldn't say that they made bad decisions or they didn't listen to us, so we're suffering now, we're going through problems. Instead, we should say that everything is in the hands of Allah. It was meant to be this way. And of course, we have to have iman to be able to say that. إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. Indeed, all the matters are in Allah's control. I leave it all to Allah. That's what we're supposed to say. يُخْفُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا لَا يُبْدُونَ لَكَ. They hide in their minds what they dare not reveal to you. This means that they were thinking a lot of other things too that they didn't say out loud, like when they had to, like why they had to go through things, or why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made the decisions he did. Okay, when they had to leave the city to go out and fight. يقولون, they say, لو كان لنا من الأمر شيء ما قتلنا هاهنا. If we had any say in the matter, none of us would have been killed here. They were saying that they would not have been killed if they stayed in their homes in Medina and they didn't go out to fight. And they said that that everything that was happening was because of the decisions made by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what they were indirectly saying. And they were saying all these things in front of people who had just received the bodies of their martyred family members. So they were making things even harder for those people. And they were creating doubts in their minds about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the group that was patient were the steadfast people that Allah bestowed peace on. He made them sleep after the battle, so they felt better when they woke up. And the second group were those that started complaining about why they had lost. After learning the differences between those two groups, try to think about your reaction to problems that arise. What do you do when you go through trials in life? قل لو كنتم في بيوتكم لبرز الذين كتب عليهم القتل إلى مضاجعهم. Say to them, even if you had remained in your homes, those of you who were destined to be killed would have been killed anyway. So they should not have complained that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't take their advice. Because if they were destined to die, those people would have reached their place of death anyway, one way or another. And we hear about this happening to people all the time. There are people who are fine wherever they are, but they go somewhere that they were destined to die. They go to a certain place because they're destined to die there. They actually walk towards their death because it's meant to happen, even if they normally don't go to that place. SubhanAllah. So it was not right for those people to complain that their loved ones would have been safe at home if they had not gone out to fight. They didn't know what could have caused their death at home. This is very important. Okay? It's important for us to remember this because we need to stop saying certain things when people around us die. Like it's so common for people to say, if so and so had not left the house or had not done something or the other, they would have been alive. We should not say that. Many family members who are left behind start blaming themselves for not taking their loved ones to the hospital on time when someone dies, or for not taking time to the right, for not taking out time to take them to the hospital or taking them to the right hospital. That, oh, maybe we should have taken them to the other hospital. Maybe that would have been better and saved them. Or if they blame themselves for sending them somewhere, because that person got into an accident and died while they were going there. Okay, but they have to remember that there is no what if when it comes to death. Shaitan makes them think that those people would have been okay if they did something differently. But that person had to die the way Allah had decreed already. And that person had to die where Allah had decreed for it to happen. So we should not sit there blaming ourselves for our loved ones who pass away. Okay, because things were just meant to happen that way. وَلِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ But it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will to test your faith. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ and purge what was in your hearts. Without being tested, what they hid in their hearts would not have been exposed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves how people really are when they go through trials. He makes everything evident. And some people remain calm and mind their manners, but others actually forget all about manners and they start cursing and blaming others. So we should keep in mind that we prove what we really are or what we really think when we're tested on the Day of Judgment. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ and will be exposed what is in the hearts. Everything in our hearts will be exposed on that day. But even now, whatever people conceal comes out when they're going through problems or when they're tested. Allah makes everything evident. That's why those people started saying how they really felt. Okay, they started expressing how they really felt and they started saying negative things. And He does test them so that He purifies their hearts also, not just to make evident what's inside of them, but also to purify their hearts. And He removes any evil that may be there. When something bad about us becomes evident, when it becomes clear, when we know our shortcomings, we can actually work on self-improvement, right? However, many times we aren't even aware of our faults or what we are lacking in, and we don't get a chance to reform. So it was out of mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected them here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made evident what was within them, the weaknesses within them. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ and Allah is always all-knowing of the secrets of the hearts. He knows things about us that we don't even know. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ indeed, those of you who turned their backs on the day when the two armies met, meaning they ran off when they couldn't figure out what was happening, when the enemy suddenly attacked from both sides after the Muslims had won, they panicked and they started running off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ Shaytan caused them to slip. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents an explanation for their actions. Why was it that Shaytan seduced them? How was he able to control them and make them mess up? بِبَعْدِ مَا كَسَبُوا because of what they had earned. And by that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means because of some of their shortcomings, their faults. Shaitan was able to cause them to slip because of those actions. This makes it clear that Shaitan is able to mislead us when we do something bad, because sins make us spiritually weak. And then Shaitan is easily able to control us. We should try to remember that. وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ And certainly Allah has pardoned them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out their mistakes so they could reform themselves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ Indeed, Allah is all forgiving, all forbearing. He is tolerant. He doesn't seize people for their mistakes right away. We should try to be tolerant when dealing with others too. When people make mistakes, we shouldn't start yelling or trying to punish them. We should try to forgive them. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the Muslims, meaning all of us. Whenever an ayah starts out this way with Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, we should listen carefully to whatever orders are coming up next. Because either He tells us to do something after that, or He orders us not to do something, to stay away from something. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, He addresses all the Muslims because they are the ones who listen to Allah carefully and they're the ones who try their best to obey Him. La takunu kalladhina kafaru, do not be like those who disbelieve. we know that we shouldn't try to be like the disbelievers, right? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, whoever imitates a people is one of them. So we should figure out who we imitate when it comes to the way we talk, the way we dress, the way we deal with others, and the way we live our lives. If it's the non-Muslims we are acting like, we have to stop because we don't want to be among them in the hereafter. As for the mu'mineen, the true believers, they are very different in the way they appear and the way they act. And it's not just about the clothes the non-Muslims wear or the traditions they follow. That's a part of it, but we should also avoid speaking like them and acting like them. Many times Muslims curse or they say bad words that the disbelievers used or they still use when they're stressed. Right? They start saying things that they do. When something suddenly shocks them, they say something bad instead of saying inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's what Muslims are supposed to say. The true believers say that inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We should speak like the mu'mineen and live our lives like them. We should be careful with what comes out of our mouths when we are suddenly surprised by something. Or even when we see something beautiful, say subhanallah instead of wow. Say alhamdulillah when we get something nice or hear something good instead of getting up and dancing. So we should sound like true believers even when we speak. And of course, we should act like the mu'mineen. So what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about in this ayah that He forbids, that He does not want us to do, to say similar things to the disbelievers? So what did they say? وَقَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ And they said to their brothers, meaning their real brothers, or their brothers from their tribes, their relatives, or whoever they were connected with. Okay, so they were saying to them, about them, إِذَا ضَرَبُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ When they traveled on the earth, أَوْ كَانُوا غُزًا Or while engaged in fighting. If their brothers died due to an accident while traveling or while fighting, they used to say, لَوْ كَانُوا عِنْدَنَا مَا مَاتُوا وَمَا قُتِلُوا If they had stayed with us, they wouldn't have died or been killed. They used to say these things normally too, but this is specifically about the Battle of Uhud. So who does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to as kafaru, meaning those who disbelieve, in this ayah about Uhud? Who are the disbelievers according to Allah? Of course, it was the Jews of Medina who used to say things like this, and it was also the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the hypocrites from among the Muslims, He calls the hypocrites disbelievers. Even though they had apparently taken the Shahada, they prayed Salah along with the Muslims, and they even fought along the Muslims in some wars. So why does Allah call them kafir? Because they were kafir at heart. They were disbelievers. They claimed to be believers, but they were not true believers. They deceived the Muslims by telling them that they were believers. But Allah does not judge people by their words or by what they say. He judges people by their hearts. Their hearts were kafir, even if they said they were believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them kafirin. Okay, He says kafaru, those who disbelieved. He says not to be like the kafirs, meaning the munafiqeen. What did they say? When 70 of the Sahaba were martyred at the Battle of Uhud, they started saying things the disbelievers used to say, that if their brothers had not gone to fight, they wouldn't have died or they wouldn't have been killed. They acted like death would not have reached their brothers if they had stayed with them, as if they could control death. لِيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ حَسْرَةً فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, so that Allah makes such thinking a cause of regret and anguish in their hearts. They kept regretting it because as long as they kept saying things like that, they couldn't be at peace. The word hasratan includes grief. It includes regret and helplessness. All three things, grief, regret, and helplessness. So they were struck with grief. They regret what had happened and they felt helpless. And they continued to suffer because of everything they were saying, because of their words. So we should learn from this to never say the words, if only, when it comes to speaking about the deceased. If only we had done that, or if only that person had not done that. People especially talk that way if that person died from an illness or an accident. That if that person had not gone out of the house, they would have been fine, or they wouldn't have died. We should not think that way. And we shouldn't say such things. If only I had done this, or if only that had happened. Because when we say things like that, shaitan gets involved. According to hadith, we have been warned. If a calamity befalls you, don't say, if I did that, this would not have happened. Or I wish I had done that. Instead, say, قَدَرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. This is what Allah had decreed, and He did what He willed. We should learn these words and remember them when needed. قَدَرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Because he gives us strength, and these words give us strength. Okay, they remind us that Allah does as He pleases, and we have to accept the way things are. And if we keep regretting what happened in the past, it makes us depressed. Okay? So we should try not to keep thinking about things that we could have done or other people could have done to avoid certain incidents. Okay? So if we keep having regrets over anything that happens or about whatever happened before the death of a loved one, we get really depressed. So it's really important to remember that whatever happened had to happen that way because Allah had decreed for it to. That is what enables us to accept the situation and then be patient. Otherwise, people keep blaming themselves or others for whatever happened, and they can't cope with their loss. We have to believe with certainty, be sure that no illness or accident can harm anyone unless Allah allows. It's shirk to think that something will lead to death. Nothing can cause death because only Allah allows someone to live or die. Wallahu yuhyi wa yumeet. And it is Allah who gives life and death. Nothing else can besides what Allah allows. We have to be firm in that belief that only Allah gives life and He gives death. And qadr, or destiny, is a part of our basic beliefs. After Allah, His messengers, His books, the angels, and the Day of Judgment. Qadr. So we must believe that nothing can happen if it's not destined to. And everything that happens is because it was destined to. So we shouldn't complain about things that take place. Be content without regretting whatever you did or someone else did, because you are not God and you did not have the power to avoid anything that happened. Allah is the one who has all the power. So there shouldn't be any ifs or buts about the past. Otherwise, we start to regret things and it causes so much grief and then we feel helpless. Ali radiallahu anhu said, I recognized the glory of my Lord upon the failure of my own planning. That proved to him that there is a rub, because we try to plan out things perfectly, right? But things don't go according to our plans so many times. Something else happens, and that proves that we don't have control over things. There is a Lord who is all powerful. He has all the control over everything. So we should not keep being sad over something that happened and keep being regretful, because that makes us think like the disbelievers. We as Muslims have been taught not to think that way or say if, but, or I wish when someone dies. Kafirs say those things, so they are never at peace. Believers accept what was destined, and they feel at peace. That's why we have been taught to grieve for 3 days after someone's death, and then return to normal. Carry on with life after those 3 days. It's okay to cry when we feel sad over the loss of a loved one or any other loss, because that's natural. But we can't stop doing everything as a result. The time of a person's death is written when that person is still in their mother's womb. So we should never say that he or she would have been alive if they were not involved in some accident or they hadn't gotten sick. It would have happened when it was decreed anyway. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir, and Allah is observant of all your actions. He sees how people act when their loved ones die and what they say. He observes everything, including our attitudes. And this is all a part of the test. Remember, nothing can kill a person, and nobody can save someone else's life unless Allah allows. Only Allah has the power to give life and cause death. That is all a part of Qadr, predestination that we believe in, that He is the only one who makes decisions about life, death, about sustenance, illness, and everything else. However, that doesn't mean that we should stop working to earn a living, or that we should stop trying to take care of ourselves and be healthy. We should do the things we need to protect ourselves. Okay, we have to work to achieve things that benefit us, but we have to avoid saying things like the hypocrites did about how their relatives could have avoided death if they just stayed home. Remember, it happened because of the decree of Allah, so we can't be like the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started this ayah with, لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. O believers, do not be like those who disbelieved, who warned us all here not to be like them. Who is it who warned us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to take that order seriously. It's out of love and care for us that He warned us, the way a mother warns her children not to be like others who say and do bad things. It doesn't make a difference to Allah if people say things that the hypocrites did, but He wants to protect us from the harm that comes from saying those things, and from the depression that comes from saying, if only something had happened differently. He doesn't want the mu'mineen to sit there depressed, full of regrets, and waste their valuable lives in the state of grief. We are only allowed to grieve for 3 days, and then we have to try to get back to normal. That's really important, okay, for us to understand. So we don't regret things after someone passes away. We have to be careful with what we say when we are overwhelmed with grief. And if anyone else forgets, we should remind them too, that we can't say things like, if only, or but, because that opens the door to the deeds of shaitan. Okay, it opens the door to bad deeds, the deeds of shaitan. Instead, we should say, Qadarullahu wa ma sha'a fa'al. Allah has decreed, and whatever He wills, He does. Subhanallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم منزل الكتاب سري الحساب اهزم الأحزاب اللهم اهزمهم وزلزلهم آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.